The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Hey, and welcome back to Q Who, the quintessential Whovian podcast. I'm your host, John Russell. And of course, on this podcast, we talk about classic Doctor Who, which means Doctors 1 through 8, William Hartnell, all the way up through Paul McGann. And we talk about the episodes, we give reviews, talk about any news concerning anything that has to do with the classic series, like DVD and Blu-ray releases, audiobook releases, book releases, you name it. We talk about it as long as it pertains to the first eight Doctors, the original run of the series, the classic series. We don't talk about the new series here because I think there's plenty of podcasts out there that cover that. And my main interest in Doctor Who does tend to be the classic series, though I do appreciate the new series for its own merits. I'm all about the classic series, especially the early years. I really love the early years. And I have been doing this watch through and listen through. I've been watching through the episodes starting from the beginning, and I've been listening to the audiobooks in chronological order, or in the order that they were shown on television, at least, and trying to give my 2 cents worth on that, and comparing them to, you know, their television counterparts. And we left off last time with The Reign of Terror. I did a review of the audiobook. And before that, of course, I talked about season one, and I did it all in like two different episodes. So for season two, I'm going to cover it in about three episodes at least, rather than trying to rush through it and cram everything in and not really get to thoroughly examine story per story, you know, doing it the way that I did season one. A lot of details and so forth were left out as far as I felt about that. So, I'm going to take my time, and on this episode of Q Who, we will just probably talk about the first two or three stories of season two, which begins, of course, with Planet of Giants. I've always had a love-hate relationship with Planet of Giants. It's never been one of my favorite stories, I have to admit. And as much as I love Hartnell and the Hartnell era, Planet of Giants never really did a lot for me. I think maybe the most interested I ever was in Planet of Giants was probably the very first time I watched it 30-odd years ago. And I found it fascinating because, you know, the TARDIS crew being shrunk down to an inch and running across all these giant ants and so forth. That element of the story is really fascinating, and I really think that they should have stuck with just that. But then they felt like they had to add in the subplot of a murder story. It's not even a murder mystery, which I think if they'd have at least gone with that angle where somebody was killed and they sort of witnessed it from afar like that, where they were small and couldn't really do a whole lot, but they had to investigate it and find out, you know, who was killed and why and so forth and solve this mystery, that would have been a much more interesting story. But instead, what we got was something that from the get-go, we know what's going on, we know why it's going on, and it just kind of shows the ugly side of humanity, and that's all going on while the TARDIS crew are trying to figure out a way out of their own predicament, which is being shrunk down to an inch, and trying to survive the various hazards of that. And then you've got DN6, this pesticide situation involved, which ups, you know, it ramps up the danger for the TARDIS crew, but it's just not very interesting, I have to admit. So Planet of Giants is probably my least favorite Hartnell story, just because I just don't think it gels at all. And it gelled so poorly that during the off season, they decided to cut it down from a four-parter to a three-parter. They combined episodes 3 and 4 into one, so it became a three-parter. And they did do, whenever they did the DVD release, they did a reconstruction of, you know, all four episodes, put 3 and 4 back as, you know, they took the scripts and they recorded with sound-alikes and also with William Russell and Carol Ann Ford. But they had sound-alikes for the First Doctor and Barbara. And it, you know, that was adequate. That was interesting. I'm not a big fan of, you know, other people coming in and playing iconic roles like that. But the guy that they got to do the First Doctor, I thought did a really good job. And the girl that did Barbara was, you know, she was passable. So it's an interesting novelty to witness. But it just actually goes to show why they decided to cut episodes 3 and 4 together as one one episode, because the story just doesn't move. There's the story after episode 1, you kind of get the gist of it, and you know at that point I'm kind of over it. The rest of, you know, episodes 2 and 3, as it is, you know, now, just aren't that interesting. It's just kind of, it's a slog. It really is. It's very tough to get through. And I'm just bored most of the time because we have this plot about DN6 and the businessman who has no scruples. And I don't know, you know, it just doesn't play. It doesn't play very well, if you ask me. So I'm not that fond of Planet of Giants just for that. I mean, I love the idea, the concept of the, you know, the TARDIS crew being shrunk and, you know, they run into the, you know, the giant ants and the giant cat and all these different things, which is really interesting. But then with that subplot of the murderer and everything in DN6, it just really slows the story down rather than helping it at all. So they'd have just turned that into like a murder mystery, or they just hadn't had, you know, if they just didn't have that subplot at all, I think it would have made a nice two-parter. But sadly, we're strapped with with that, lumbered with that subplot that just isn't interesting at all. So, for the television version, whether you watch in three parts or four, it doesn't really matter. I just give it 1.5 TARDISes. That's all I can possibly give it. 1.5 out of 5. It's really my least favorite one. You know, and it's not god-awful or anything like that, but it's, you know, there are bits of it that are watchable. Like I said, part one is actually pretty interesting, especially if you were to take out the whole DN6 plot line. I think part one would flow wonderfully, but it's a story that just doesn't flow. And when it came to the audiobook, the audiobook is actually an improvement. It's definitely better. Of course, it was adapted by Terrence Dix and read by Carol Ann Ford in the audio CD. It's a 3 CD set, and it definitely was a better book than it was a television show, but it still doesn't, you know, it still doesn't stand out as one of the greats. It's still kind of bogged down by that story. Terrence Dix at least took the elements from the third and fourth episodes, and that actually helped to tell the story and put them back in to sort of explain some things that are going on and the motivations for Barbara and everybody else that you really don't get in the cut down episode 3. Some of that's missing. You know, you can tell things are missing when you're watching episode 3, but it's such a boring story. You don't care because you're just at the end of it. You're like, thank goodness that's over. At least that's my take on it. I know there are people out there that really love Planet of Giants. I have heard from them before, but it's just not one that does it for me. It doesn't appeal to me. And the audiobook is definitely an improvement, or the novelization, whether you read it or you listen to it, Carol Ann Ford reading it. It's a fine reading. It comes across a lot better. Terrence Dix took, something that wasn't very good and made it at least passable, made it tolerable, made it an interesting read, if not a great read. So I will give the audiobook or / novelization a 2.5 TARDISes out of 5. So that's as good as it gets. It gets one more point. it gets one more TARDIS. But we move on to The Dalek Invasion of Earth, which is 1,000 times better than Planet of Giants. Thank goodness we got a really good follow-up to that. Season 2 started with a whimper, but then after that, it actually takes off, and the rest of the season is actually really enjoyable. Planet of Giants, I think, is the weakest point. A lot of people say that the Space Museum is the weakest point, but I will disagree. I think the Space Museum is a little bit better, but I'll talk about that, of course, in another episode when we get down there to to that area towards the end of Season 2. But right now, Dalek Invasion of Earth. It's a story that I really was never that into years ago. When I first saw it, it was interesting, but it didn't really capture my imagination like it does today. It's one of those stories that the older I get, the more it grows on me. And while I always appreciated it for what it was, I don't know. There was something about it years ago that really just didn't do it for me. And I can't really put my finger on why, but it just didn't seem to flow like the Daleks did. It didn't seem to flow like others around it that I thought were really good, like the Romans. I always enjoyed the Romans. I always enjoyed the Reign of Terror, and so forth. I just thought there were better stories around it, but these days, I can see it for the gem that it is. And it's, of course, it's Susan's departure, and that's all handled pretty well. I mean, it's kind of that cliche, the companion falls in love and stays behind, but there's a little more to it than that, thankfully, because she's kind of reluctant. She wants to stay with her grandfather and, look after him. And she feels that responsibility, even though she's longing to be with David. And, kind of likes this idea of rebuilding the Earth after the Daleks have devastated it and invaded. There's a certain appeal there for her and having roots and belonging somewhere, but she's torn between that desire and wanting to honor her grandfather. And of course, he takes that decision right out of her hands in a really nice twist at the end that, if you don't know the story, you're just hit with it at the end, like, wow, that's unexpected and really brilliant for the time. That's not something you would have thought they would have done in a children's television program, the way that they handled it. This is a very grown-up story, I think. The series was primarily made for children or for family viewing. And I'm not saying the Dalek Invasion of Earth is more adult. It's just a little more grown up storytelling, and it's handled in a very good way. And it's a story that paces up very nicely. There's a lot of variety in there. It really does hang together. And as an adult, you appreciate it more than I did when I was, when I was young. And maybe that's the whole point of why I enjoy it now compared to years ago, because when I was a teenager and seeing it for the first time, it just didn't really do it for me. And I think I see why, because it is kind of a more maturely written Doctor Who story. So we had some of that at the time. I mean, the Reign of Terror very much is a maturely written story. It's not written down to children in the way that the Censorites kind of is. The Censorites, you could see, is kind of, oh well, you know, they have the young audience in mind writing that one. It's not particularly grown-up writing, but the Reign of Terror is, and Planet of the Giants really kind of is with the whole murder thing, and then the Dalek Invasion of Earth very much is, and it is to its strength, as it is to the Reign of Terror strength, to be a grown-up story and written in a very mature way. The Dalek Invasion of Earth works on that level, and both of those stories, Reign of Terror and Dalek Invasion of Earth, probably didn't appeal to the younger audience at the time, but I will bet you most of them nowadays, now that they've grown up and they're older, they probably appreciate both of those stories more now than they did then, just like myself. I didn't appreciate especially the Dalek Invasion of Earth as much as I do now, so I really think it's a cracker of a story, and it's, you know, it kind of... I don't know if I like it better than the Daleks. If I do, it's by an inch. You know, it's they're very different stories, and they're told in very different ways, and they're both told in very good ways. The Dalek Invasion of Earth, of course, is an episode shorter, so it paces up a little better, perhaps, and that's probably to its credit as well. It probably helps it to be an inch better than the Daleks. So I give the televised story 4 TARDISes out of 5. I think it's a solid entry and a very good departure for Susan, who I've never really been a big Susan fan. I much preferred Vicky and was very happy for her to come in the very next story. But it's a solid outing. It's a good departure for Susan. I don't think it's an atypical cliched kind of thing, just by the way that they handled it, the way that it was written. It all made sense, and I love that little twist at the end where the Doctor locks her out of the TARDIS and says, you know, you're a grown woman now. You deserve to have roots. Go and have your life. I will see you somewhere down the line and make sure you're okay. You know, paraphrasing, of course, what the Doctor was saying, but that was the meaning of what he was trying to bring across to her. Now, getting into the audiobook, when I listened to it, it's an enjoyable listen. I kind of feel like the television episodes flowed a little bit better than the audiobook. I'm not sure why that was, but that was definitely my feeling listening to the audiobook. It is one of those paint by numbers novelizations. He didn't change a whole lot, although he added a bit here and there and clarified some things and made certain things, I guess, what he felt work better than they did on television. And in some cases that's true, but overall it doesn't quite flow as well as the episodes, and I'm not sure. Like I said, I can't really put my finger on it, but that is how I kind of felt listening to it, was this is good, but it's just not quite the same experience as watching it. Watching it is a better experience, and that's a rarity. Usually the books are better than the scripts, but in this case, I think the episodes work just a little bit better. So for the audiobook or you know, for the novelization, I give it 3.5 TARDISes out of 5. But The Rescue is one that I've always kind of enjoyed because I really like Vicky, for starters, and it was a nice little introduction for her. And it's, I kind of like the two-parters as well because they seem to flow really well. I think they, you know, it's nice to have a shorter story once in a while that you can just get into and then get out of. And in this case, it definitely is to the story's benefit. It wouldn't have worked as a four-parter. They would have had to have added a lot more characters. And as it stands as a two-part story, it works very well. So I like the villain because there was a nice surprise there with Coquilliam being, you know, Bennett, and Bennett was the one responsible for the bad things that happened on the ship and killing Vicky's father, and she had no idea, and all these things. The rescue is a quaint little story, and it works on a lot of levels. The TARDIS crew work very well together. Them meeting Vicky is interesting. And, of course, the Doctor having to deal with Bennett, a.k.a. Coquilliam, is quite fascinating. And so I like the two episodes. I give it 3 TARDISes out of 5. I've always enjoyed The Rescue. It's a nice one. The audiobook, so Ian Martyr did expand this quite a bit. For about the first episode, it's almost word for word. He didn't do a lot. But when he got into part 2, the second half of the story, that's where he started really fleshing it out a bit. And we got to know a little bit more about the rescue ship and those people that are coming. And then we got to know a little bit more about the society on Dido, the planet that they're on, and how the Doctor knows them and all this, because the Doctor refers to the Didoans, or whatever you call them. He refers back to visiting their planet before. And while we don't get a lot of background on that, even in the novelization, there's a good bit more information given. And we get to hear a little bit more about their society and what they're about. And so it's that ending is kind of expanded, and they're dealing with Bennett, a.k.a. Coquilliam, is expanded. And I have to say, it's not really one of Ian Martyr's stronger books. It was the last one he ever wrote before his death. I think he died before it was even published, if I recall correctly. So it was released posthumously. It's like he just finished it and then passed away, had his heart attack and died. He's a bit too descriptive, and that's one way that it's expanded. Because as far as the dialogue and so forth and the story are concerned, like I said, for at least for part 1, it's almost word for word, except in between all the dialogue and stuff, he's extremely descriptive to the point that it's, you know, it's like ad nauseum. It's just too much. It's just too much, and it's kind of a slog and a bit boring in parts. And while I appreciated the ending and what he did with it picked up towards the end. But for the first, you know, 3/4 of the book, I was kind of bored because he was just entirely too descriptive. Maybe he felt like he had to be because he didn't want to write a really short novel. He wanted to write, you know, a regular size novel, but he only had, you know, 2 scripts to work with rather than 4. So he stretched it so that it came out to around the same length as a 4-parter would have if he'd adapted it. So, yeah, he gets very descriptive in there, just to the point of you're just thinking, get on with it, please get on with it. And while Maureen O'Brien does a fine job with the reading of the audiobook, and it really helps, it's still just a bit of a slog, especially, like I said, for that first 3/4 of the audiobook, of the novelization, it just doesn't flow like a lot of the other ones. You know, his adaptation of The Reign of Terror was beautiful. He did a wonderful job on that, and he didn't have to pad it. With this, I felt like he really padded it to try and get it into that 4-episode type format, and most of it didn't work. The ending was nice. I like what he did with the last few chapters, but the first 3/4 of the book, especially the first half of the book, it's really just a bit much. It's kind of boring, and you're just kind of going, get on with it, please. Get on with it, please. But it's not horrible, though. It's not god-awful. It's, you know, it's passable. So that's why I give the novelization / audiobook 2.5 TARDISes. It gets that extra half because Maureen O'Brien, of course, is wonderful as a reader. And it was nice to hear her telling her character's first story, you know, her introduction. So I give it 2.5 TARDISes out of 5. And I think that's fair, considering. So that's my take on the first 3 stories of Season 2. Next time we will get into the next bit, the middle bit of the season, and we'll talk about the next 3 stories, which are definitely the season's really starting to take off at that point. So you get past this initial hump, and yeah, I like I said, I really enjoyed the Dalek Invasion of Earth. I love the rescue on television, but from here Season 2 really takes off, and we'll get into that next time. So thanks for listening. I've rambled on for nearly half an hour. Really hadn't intended to even ramble on this long, but yeah, that's my thoughts on the first third of Season 2 of Doctor Who. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to me rambling on about it. So if you enjoyed it, come back next time for more of the same, and we'll talk about the middle section of Season 2 of Doctor Who. Well, probably it will be the episode after the next one, because I expect the next episode of Q Who actually to be my review of the Abominable Snowman Blu-ray Steelbook release of the animated version of the Abominable Snowman. So that's probably what you're going to hear next, if all that goes well. Because I'm expecting that to arrive any day now, so that will probably be next. And then the following episode of QU, we'll get into the middle section of Season 2 of Doctor Who. So bear with us, bear with us. Thanks for listening. You guys know the drill. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to a fan production for Dream Realm Enterprises. This is a not-for-profit program.